from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, when my heart is overwhelmed, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Good morning. This is Pastor Loren Richmond of East Denver Bible Baptist Church with this week's broadcast of Lead Me to the Rock. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we are able to be here today. We just ask that you might prepare the hearts of those that are listening, and we also ask that you would give me clarity of speech and thought as I share your word, and might you use it to bring honor and glory to your name. And perhaps there's someone who doesn't know you today that would be drawn to the rock, that they would realize their need of a Savior, and that they would be willing to put their faith and trust in you. Bless this broadcast. Bless those that are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to speak to you this morning on running the race of life. I've taken several scriptures. I'm going to base some of my broadcast on some personal experience in the athletic realm and relate it to the scripture and the Christian life. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And then over in Philippians chapter 3, and beginning with verse number 12, it says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And then finally, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. It is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I believe, as we share this morning, that oftentimes, certainly many times here, Paul alludes to the physical and the athletic realm in relating that to our physical life here on this earth. And I certainly believe when we talk about running the race of life, we're talking about getting ready for the life that's to come and making sure that we're qualified, that we have a reservation for heaven. And so I would sort of break this down into a couple of areas. First of all, training for the race. And I relate this a little bit to my own experience. I've run a lot of marathons and ultra marathons. I've run the Boston Marathon 4 times. And I can certainly remember running it the very first time in 1973 as a 21-year-old, not having a whole lot of experience and a lot of I was pretty naive as to how it needed to be run. Had the ability, certainly, but it lacked the knowledge. And I think that's true of a lot of people today. They may lack the spiritual knowledge that they need to run the race. But years passed. I think it was 18 years later, and I had let my weight get up on me. And I finally decided, you know, I need to do something about this weight to get it off. And I gave myself a goal. It was June of 1990. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I want to dream of going back to Boston in 1991. This was June of 90. And of course, Boston comes every April. And so I began to train and to work for that. And, you know, it was a hard road. And in that time of preparation, There were a lot of different ways that I needed to train, but one of the things I had to do was I just had to get out there and do it every single day. And so I began training for that race and working at it every day, and I lost in a period of about 8 or 9 months, I lost 42 pounds. And in that time of losing that weight, I had to reach a qualifying time for the Boston Marathon, which happened to be 3:15. And so I decided to run my first marathon in October of 1990. And I remember going out, giving it everything I had, and I ran a 3:30. So it wasn't good enough. I could have got discouraged, but I realized, you know, I just need to work a little harder, go after it again. And so I did. I went to run another marathon in December. And this time I ran it in 3 hours and 20 minutes. And so now I thought, boy, I've got to one more shot. And it was the last train to Boston in Aberdeen, Maryland. And there in March of 1991, I was able to finally run that 3:15 and to finally qualify for that Boston Marathon. And so that was a tremendous joy to be able to do that. Now, when you go to Boston, you can run the marathon whether you're qualified or not. There are those that run it. They're called bandits, but they don't get the prizes. It sort of reminds me of some church people that maybe are acting like they're in the Christian race, that they're a part of the church and they're on their way to heaven, but the problem is they've never received Christ as their Savior. They're a part of the crowd. They're going through the motions, but they've got nothing waiting for them at the end of the life except separation from God for all eternity, because they have not entered. They don't have a reservation for heaven. But once you're entered, and once you've, as the scripture says, been saved, then it's a little bit different. And so when you've been training for the race, how do you train? In the physical realm, there's many different ways of training. There are intervals, there's hills, there's long, slow distance, there's tempo running, there's speed work, there's mile repeats. There's all sorts of different ways that you train. What about the Word of God? What does the Christian do? What kind of training does he do in the Christian life? Well, he might read a large portion or a long portion of Scripture. There are devotional materials that he might read. Might be some materials by Blackaby or Swindle or John MacArthur or Vernon McGee. There's many different ones you can read, David Jeremiah and so forth. There's meditation on the Word of God. Just taking that time to be alone with God and meditate. And then, of course, memorizing the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And then we have prayer. Of course, we can think of the method of praying of Acts, which is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So learning how to pray is a part of that spiritual race, training for the big race, training to be ready. Reading some good godly biographies of some godly men and some good Bible commentaries. Some sources that people might find would come from Blue Letter Bible or allaboutgod.com, Back to the Bible with Woodrow Kroll, and then, of course, Warren Wiersbe. These are ones that you can look at. But the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." How do we run that race? We know there are people that are watching us. This cloud of witnesses, most people refer to it as those that have gone on before in chapter 11 in the faith chapter of Hebrews. Those who've endured and were martyred for the cause of Christ. We're not any better than they are. But we have the same God, and we have the same power and the strength available to us to do some great things for God. We have the ability to finish the race and to run it well. The Bible says we'll lay aside every weight. That's talking about just putting things aside that would hinder us, and things such as maybe attitude. You know, some people say, well, a Christian can never be depressed. You know, if something's wrong with you if you're depressed. But you know what? When you get into the realm of racing, and especially when you're running a marathon or an ultramarathon, where you're running maybe for 12 hours or 24 hours or 30 hours, as I've had opportunity to do, there are times when you do get depressed. There are some times when you do get down and discouraged. But you know what? God gives you the strength to go on. And the Bible says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." So we have that ability to keep on going. We run with patience. We lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We need to keep a short account with God. Ask Him to help us when we've messed up, to say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, help me to go on, help me to get this thing straight again. And we lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and we run with patience the race that is set before us. Just keep on going. You know, it's not a fast run. It's just keep on running it through. Sometimes people get all excited about some young preacher that's just come on the scene, someone who's all aflame. But you know what I get excited about? I get excited about that preacher that's finishing the race, that one who's preached faithfully for 50 years, that saint who's been in the prayer closet for years and years praying for the ministry and being a blessing. That's the type of running we need to do. And all the time we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. It is set at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you have you entered the race? Have you put your faith and trust in him? He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. If you would ask him to come in, he would do that. He'd save you. He tells you if you come to him, he won't turn anyone away. Just admit that you're a sinner. Tell him you're sorry. You believe that he died on the cross in your place. And you ask him to forgive you of your sin. And you know what? You can be entered in the race of life. He'll give you a home in heaven. He'll guarantee that you might be with him for all eternity. I want to again thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Lead Me to the Rock, and I hope that you, if you have not come to the rock yet, that you will. God bless you as you find that rock.
If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, are looking for a church home, or simply have a prayer request, you may contact us by email at PastorLauren@duno.com or 303-421-9329. Again, that is PastorLauren@duno.com or 303-421-9329. Please reference Lead Me to the Rock in the email's subject line. Our address is 3540 East 31st Avenue. Sunday school begins at 10 a.m., fellowship time at 10:45, and the church service at 11. A food bank is also provided on Sunday morning. Lead me to the rock that is-